This is Brewers on Tap.
Episode number 7 of Brewers on Tap is here. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Jeff Levering with you, your host of the official podcast, the Milwaukee Brewers. We've got a great episode lined up for you this week as Rob Deer came by. He had his bobblehead giveaway this last weekend. And Brewers broadcaster Bill Schroeder stops by as well to talk about the home run that Rob Deer hit on that Easter Sunday, as well as the game that he caught back on April the 15th, 1987, the Juan Nieves no-hitter. But more on that as the show progresses. Well, the Brewers did not get off to a great start here in 2015. The club started 0-4, the first time they'd done that since 2011. But fear not, Brewers fans. The club is 2-1 since. And back in 2011, when that team started 0-4, that club went on to win 96 games, a franchise record in wins in a single season, and capture the NL Central Championship. One guy who's been smoking hot since the beginning of the season, that's first baseman Adam Lind. Through his first 5 games, he reached base safely in 13 of his first 21 plate appearances, going 9-for-17 with 4 walks. And with those 9 hits, Adam Lind tied Paul Molitor and Dave Parker, Molitor back in 1978 and Parker in 1990, for the most hits through the first 5 games as a member of the Brewers. Through Monday's game against the Cardinals, Lind is hitting .417, the third-best batting average in the National League. Once you get the likes of Ryan Braun, Carlos Gomez, and Aramis Ramirez going, who knows where this offense is going to go for the Brewers. Well, let's start the podcast this week, as we always do, with This Week in Brewers History.
And now, This Week, the Brewers History.
Back on April the 15th, 28 years ago today, Juan Nieves records the first no-hitter in franchise history with a 7-0 win against the Baltimore Orioles, making him the first Puerto Rican-born pitcher to accomplish the feat. Final line for Nieves that night, 9 innings, no runs, no hits. He walked 5 and struck out 7. But it took a sensational diving catch by Robin Yount in the bottom of the 9th inning with 2 outs to seal the deal. Yount said after the ball game that he might have been able to make the catch without diving, but it seemed like the best thing to do at the time. The likes of Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Fred Lynn, and even the Brewers' current outfield coach John Shelby was on that Baltimore team. In fact, Shelby was 0-for-3 against Nieves with 3 strikeouts. Nieves, who is now the Boston Red Sox pitching coach, pitched in the big leagues for 3 years, 1986 through 1988, going 32-25 with a .471 earned run average, and enjoyed his best season in 1987, going 14-8 with the crew. It is still, to this day, the only no-hitter in Brewers franchise history. And we'll hear from Bill Schroeder, the catcher for Nieves that day, later on in the podcast. And also in This Week in Brewers History, on April the 19th, 1987, that's the storied Easter Sunday game where Rob Deer and Dale Swaim hit home runs to spark a comeback to start the season 12-0. They would go on to win the very next day to make it 13-0, the record for most wins to start a season. But on that Easter Sunday day, the Brewers were trailing 4-1 going into the bottom of the 9th inning against the Texas Rangers. That's when Rob Deer hit his game-tying 3-run homer off of Greg Harris, and after that storied Rob Deer home run, a strikeout followed, and then a Jim Gantner walk before Dale Swaim hit the game winner to beat the Texas Rangers and spark the comeback for the Brewers. That was on this day in Brewers history. And now we'll take a listen back at that historic home run hit by Rob Deer.
Here's the pitch. A curveball! Drilled to deep left! Gonna get way, way, way out of here and gone for Deer!
And speaking of highlights, we've got plenty to get to in the week that was for the Brewers. Again, they've won 2 of their last 3, but we go back to Wednesday when Willie Peralta made a start against the Colorado Rockies trying to avoid a sweep. Willie Peralta put together a fine start. Adam Lind hit his first home run, and there were some spectacular plays throughout the course of that game on Wednesday.
One of the 2 hits allowed by Peralta. That is a bare hand snag. How about that?
Yeah.
I think it was going to be an out either way, but Peralta, with instincts only, picks that one clean with his bare hand to get the out. In the air, center field, way back, Blackman at the track, at the line, goodbye! Adam Lind, his first Brewer home run. And the first home run of the season for Milwaukee. In the air to left, pretty well hit. Davis on the run, and Davis! Oh, what a catch! Chris Davis makes a great catch as he crashes up against the wall.
Wow.
Standing ovation from this Miller Park crowd. No balls and a strike on Gomez. Carlos to the right side. That's going to sneak through. A base hit. Here comes Segura. And we are tied.
After an off day and a loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Brewers gave the baseball to Jimmy Nelson on Saturday, and he put together one of the most dominating starts of the season.
There's another one. Defensive swing. Nelson has just set a career high for strikeouts. That is number 8. This could be his last inning. Wow, there it is. The curveball has been the story. The spike curveball of Jimmy Nelson. 9 strikeouts. A new career high.
Jimmy Nelson dealt to the tune of 7 shutout innings, allowing just 2 hits and striking out a career-high 9. After the ballgame on Saturday, Hiram Burgos complimented Jimmy Nelson via Twitter about the new curveball that he's been working on that he dubbed hashtag Jimmy Curve. Nelson replied with, "Thanks, my barber taught it to me." That barber for Nelson? That would be pitcher Hiram Burgos, who was the Nashville Sounds personal barber the last couple of seasons. We move on to Sunday, and unfortunately another loss at the hands of the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Carlos Gomez left the yard for the first time this season in impressive fashion.
Even his swings and misses are entertaining. Carlos did drive in Gomez yesterday. That ball's deep. Away back. Carlos Gomez, goodbye! 2-run home run.
On Monday, the Brewers hit the road for their first road trip of the season, and it started with the Cardinals opening Busch Stadium 3 in 2015. The Brewers jumped out early against Cardinals ace Adam Wainwright. Armed with a 5-4 lead going into the bottom of the 9th inning, the Brewers turned to closer Francisco Rodriguez to clean up the win.
Back up the middle. Oh, he caught it! Francisco Rodriguez somehow makes the play on that. What a catch.
Well, I thought that ball was into center field. He just threw the glove up there, and somehow the ball landed inside.
And a 5-4 victory for the Crews spoiled that Cardinals home opener in front of a record crowd. The Brewers have won 2 of their last 3. And in the what the heck just happened category, Carlos Gomez played second base for the first time in his career last Friday night against the Pirates. After Scooter Gennett had been ejected, and both Hector Gomez and Luis Jimenez had already been used earlier in the game, the Brewers had no one else that could have played the infield. So here comes Carlos Gomez from center field to play second base for the first time in his professional career playing in the infield. Now, he's played in shifts in the 5-man infield a couple of times, but that was the first time in his career that he had actually been listed as an infielder, and that was on Friday against the Pirates. Now we bring in our first guest of episode number 7, and that was Rob Deer, who had a bobblehead giveaway this last weekend to celebrate his Easter Sunday home run. And he had an opportunity to sit down with me in the dugout in this week's edition of Catching Up with the Crew.
Let's catch up with the crew.
It's now time to catch up with the crew. Brewers on Tap, and now we have the honor of having Rob Deer on the show. And now, Rob, today is your bobblehead day. Very exciting. Is this the first time you've had a bobblehead?
Yeah, there's a bobblehead that's going to be unveiled in Detroit this summer. But this is my first time, you know. Obviously, it's very exciting for all of us. I have my family and my girlfriend. Everybody's here, so it's going to be we're excited, and it's going to be a fun day.
Now, the anniversary of your big 3-run home run that the bobblehead depicts is coming up here at the end of the week. Take me back to 1987. I know it was 28 years ago, which is hard to believe, I think, but take me back to that day and even that at-bat.
It's real hard to believe. The crazy thing about it was I was playing left field that day, which I'd never played, and there was a fly ball that that I still think I should have caught, and I dove, and I clanked it. And so that just, I mean, I had homered earlier in the game to tie it, and then it was in the back of my mind that that was going to be weighing on me, that I should have caught that ball, that it just kind of the whole scenario started where it was like, okay, I got a base runner here, got a base runner there, and then it's like, okay, they brought Greg Harrison, who's a fastball curveball guy, and he just made a mistake and threw that the pitch that I hit, and as soon as I hit it, I knew it was, I was hoping to go out of the stadium.
What a lot of people don't talk about is that the wind was blowing in that day.
Yeah, that's, it's crazy. It was one of those experiences that just once in a lifetime. I mean, that was my World Series. Mm-hmm. And it was a memory that I'll never forget. I still, when I watch that video, I still get goosebumps.
What's it mean for you to come back and have a bobblehead after you and spend some time here in Milwaukee? What's that mean to you?
That's very important for me because I always say this to people that I would have loved to play my whole career here. It didn't work out that way, but, you know, Milwaukee's always been great to me. The fans were always great to me. I love the people here. The organization is, you know, top-notch organization. And it's just, it's a feeling that you have when you come here. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like going back home, you know. So I love coming here, and I'm really glad because I have all my friends and family and stuff that are here today, and they get to experience it with me. So it's I'm really looking forward to it.
A couple of people went to Twitter to ask a couple of questions, and one question that we continued to get was, who had the better flow coming out the back of the hair? Was it you or Bill Schroeder? So you gotta answer the question. We've already talked with Bill a little bit that fans will hear later on in the show, but who had the better flow?
Well, see, mine was just natural. Mine was naturally long. He had to work hard. He had to go to the perm place and get his hair permed once every 3 weeks. You know, I mean, that was his look. I mean, he had the helmet with the flow coming out, the curly locks. Mine was just messy long. His was, you know, he used the primp comb, and he, you know, I mean, the special spray stuff, and I mean, he took pride in making sure his do was really looking good.
You didn't have to work too hard. You've still got a little bit, so you're still maintaining the image a little bit.
I'm always kind of a long hair hippie. You know, I don't like, I mean, my head, I have a bad shaped head, so I have to keep my hair long.
I'm sure fans want to know, what are you up to these days?
Well, right now, it's everything's involved around Rob Deere Baseball. We did 12 baseball camps here in Milwaukee this summer at The Rock. And we're just, now it's really taken off. It's gotten, we're doing camps in New York. We're doing camps up in Seattle with Jeff Cirillo. My business partner, Mike Keith, and I started this, and he's the one with all the ideas, and I'm the one with the knowledge, so it all works.
Mm-hmm. Ever going to go back to fantasy camp? Bill Schroeder was asking about that, too.
Yeah, if he behaves, I will. It'll be my 17th year in a row.
Nice.
But he's got to behave, or I'm not showing up. No, I love going back there. I love the guys. That's 5 days of just, I mean, we all look forward to that. That's a great time.
You still following the club pretty closely?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always, you know. I mean, I talked to Robin quite a bit, and, you know, we always, I mean, you can't help but, you know, every time I'm watching a game, if the Brewers are on, or I try to make time to sit down and watch the Brewers, I follow them. I always will.
Well, it's been 28 years since the Easter Sunday home run and since team streak, but when you talk to fans, it still feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think the ballpark held like 50,000 or whatever it was. And there's been 500,000 that have said they've been there, but it's I can't believe it's been 28 years. I mean, it's crazy because I see that and it seems like it was last week. I mean, really, it's a crazy feeling. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, and now it's immortalized because you've got your bobblehead and you've got you going around second base with the arm up. You'll never forget it ever.
I'll never forget it now. And I have 100 bobbleheads coming to me, and I'm not going to be able to get one of them with all the requests I have from my kids and friends and all that. But it's all good, and it's going to be a special, special day.
Rob, thanks so much for taking the time. Enjoy it. Soak it all up, okay?
Thank you very much. I will.
Special thanks to Rob Deere for carving out some time on what was a very busy day for him. He was very popular here in Milwaukee and still, as he mentioned in the interview, wishes he could have played his entire career here for the Brewers. As we talked about earlier in the podcast, it's a great week of anniversaries, the Easter Sunday home runs by Rob Deere and Dale Swaim, but also the no-hitter, the only one in Brewers history by Juan Nieves. And the man that caught that no-hitter, that's our own Bill Schroeder. And he sat down with me to break down what it's like catching a no-hitter.
Let's break it down.
Now it's time to break it down on Brewers on Tap, and this week we chat with TV analyst Bill Schroeder, better known as The Rock, and we're going to break down a couple of different things. First and foremost, it's coming up on the anniversary of the no-hitter that Juan Nieves threw, so we got to talk about that. You caught the no-hitter, so tell me what it takes and break down what it's like catching a no-hitter.
That's great. You never, you know, I wasn't even in that starting lineup to start the day. I mean, we were in Baltimore. I get to the ballpark in Surhoff. Is in the lineup to catch that day. It was Surhoff's rookie season. And come to find out, during batting practice, BJ can't catch because earlier that day he had some dental work done in Baltimore. And I ended up in the starting lineup. So had BJ Surhoff not gone to the dentist, there would still not be a no-hitter in Brewers history.
How crazy is it that that's still the only one we're 28 years later?
Yeah, it is. It is. There's been a lot of great pitchers. You know, CC Sabathia came real close in Pittsburgh. In my mind, that was a no-hitter. Official score, everybody knows in Milwaukee, gave a hit on a ball that was clearly an error by CC. And but it was nice. It was a great night in Baltimore. Not weather-wise, but I mean results-wise. I think we had a nice healthy lead. We were able to, you know, do some things and work around some hitters when he got behind an account. And in our infinite wisdom, we put, you know, we got behind Cal Ripken in the ninth inning with two outs, quickly 2-0, cagely setting up on the outside corner, thinking that we don't want to lose a no-hitter with a comfortable lead with a 2-0 count. So kind of pitched around Cal Ripken to get to Eddie Murray. So, yeah, nobody ever said I was smart. But, yeah, then Robin makes the great catch. There was a number of great plays in that game. Rob Deere was out of lineup. Jim Pashurik was in left. He made a great catch coming in. Molitor snared a line drive down the line. Dale Swaim made a great play on a bad hop that X went off his chest, and he was able to get a force. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, that was part of team streak. We started 13-0.
Well, every no-hitter, you mentioned the great plays that you had, the Robin Yount catch that ended the no-hitter. Were you sitting behind the dish going, please, just make a play? Did you know he had it?
No, I mean, I thought it was a routine catch to start out with. I mean, you know, it was right at him initially because of the wind and things and the way Murray sliced that ball. It just kept going further and further away. So the further it got out there, the less I thought he was going to make that catch. When he first hit the ball, I was like, there it is, you know, no hitter. But then that ball just kept going, drifting further and further away from Robin. And I finally made that catch, and, you know, the rest is history. So, yeah, that was one of those situations where it turned into a great play. And in my mind, it was going to be as routine as it gets when it was left to bat. But just the way the ball was slicing away from Robin, it was incredible.
Was that the only no-hitter you've ever caught?
Yeah, I've never been involved in a no-hitter defensively. I've been involved in no-hitters in the minor leagues, you know, on the other end of it. But, yeah, Juan Nieves had great stuff. I mean, unfortunately, his career was cut short because shoulder problems. But just had a live electric fastball and big curveball, you know, very similar to Teddy Higuera. But, you know, Teddy did it over a long period of time.
Do you still send B.J. Surhoff Christmas presents every year saying, hey, thanks for letting me catch that day and for going to the dentist?
I used to send him Christmas cards until he decided he's never going to come to Brewers Fantasy Camp. So, you know, if you're a former Brewer and you shine Brewers Fantasy Camp, you're off my list.
Okay. Now, last year the Brewers played against the Red Sox. You got to go to Fantasy Camp. Everybody listening, you got to go to Fantasy Camp. That's a good plug. Last year you guys played the Red Sox in Boston. You guys opened up their ballpark, and Juan Nieves is their pitching coach. Did you guys have a moment together? Had you guys seen each other, obviously, in 28 years, but was there a moment where you guys got together at all?
Yeah, well, not that particular day, because, you know, that series series of the year. But, you know, and again, I hate to do this to you again, but, I mean, he was a fantasy camp coach one year, and sure, we were able to, you know, kvetch and tell stories. And, you know, I talked to him on the phone, on occasion, a couple of times this summer. He's called me up, just to chit-chat. We went a long time without really connecting. And a lot of times, you know, when, you know, you're out of baseball and you're living life, I mean, you lose track of a lot of the guys. But through what I do in the offseason with the camps, I mean, I really get an opportunity to get back in touch with a lot of former players, and we have a great time.
Another former teammate is in town this last weekend, Rob Deere. He's got his bobblehead. We're looking at it right now as we're doing this interview. And take me back to Team Streak. I mean, again, you had the no-hitter, and then a week later, it's Easter Sunday. He hits a three-run game-tying homer, then Dale Swaim wins it, five-run rally in the ninth inning. Take me through to that day, and, you know, we're looking at his bobblehead at the moment and just how great of a moment that was at County Stadium.
Well, I mean, you can't watch that video. I mean, especially if you were on that team. And I know, talk to fans, you can't watch that video of that game and those two home runs without getting goosebumps. And certainly, you know, the fact that, you know, we were down by, you know, three runs and he was facing a guy in Greg Harris that he had not even fouled a ball off on over a course of, you know, his career. Hung a curveball, and the wind was blowing in. I mean, nobody really talks too much about that. It was a really stiff breeze coming in off Lake Michigan, and he almost knocked it out of the entire ballpark. So, Rooster, great friend, still to this day a good friend. And there's not anybody that I'd ever played with or have seen, you know, maybe Giancarlo Stanton and some guys that had more raw power than Rob Deere. And we always tease each other about the strikeouts. You know, three strikeouts and a home run's a good day, you know, if you can do that. But good to see him getting the bobblehead, and really it's even going to be better to see him here at the ballpark. I'm looking forward to talking to him again.
Now, the biggest question, we got this a couple of times on Twitter when we asked people to chime in for the weekly podcast. He had a pretty good flow coming out the back of the helmet, and you had yourself pretty good lettuce too coming out the back of your helmet as well. Who had the better curls, you or Rob Deere?
Well, I had the curls, but they were fake. I mean, they were artificially induced with perm rods back in those days. Now, don't laugh, because back in those days, that was pretty happening. That was cool, you know. But Deere just had the long hair. He had the flowing red locks. But he certainly got a lot more play with his because he was on the field a lot more.
Sure. And he didn't cover it up with a mask either all the time.
That's right. Yeah, he was much of a style master. I prided myself on when I was able to play to get as dirty as I could, and I didn't care if my stripes lined up on my pants and my stirrup socks. But Rob Deere would take a good 40 minutes getting everything in line, getting the eye black just right. I mean, he would put the eye black on, you know, take it off with some alcohol and put it on. It just had to be perfect.
Did he use a ruler to straighten it out?
No, okay. just by eye, okay. Just, you know, but he was into the way, he was into the, you know, the perception of how he looked out there in the field. And you know what? It worked for him.
Well, a big Easter Sunday home run, obviously. He gets the bobblehead this last weekend. Rock, you're breaking down all sorts of great stuff for us today. Catching the no-hitter, anniversary's coming up as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much again for taking some time with us, and I'm sure it won't be the only time that you appear on Brewers on Tap this year.
No, and because of you, I have listened to my first podcast of my entire life. So I didn't even know what a podcast was. But since you started doing those in spring training, I've actually listened to them. Good job.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. And now you're a guest, and now you're going to tell everybody, and it's going to be an institution at Fantasy Camp coming up.
It's going to have a life of its own, man.
Oh, it's great. It's all good.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Rock.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
Bill Schroeder, I got a feeling he is going to be a fixture here on Brewers on Tap. And our special thanks to him for joining us this week. And now with the minor league season in full swing, it's time to check in on the farm.
Checking in on the farm.
One of the biggest prospects in the Brewers system, shortstop Orlando Arcia, got off to a great start in Double-A Biloxi on Thursday night against the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. In his first Double-A game, Arcia went 3-for-4 with a couple of doubles and three runs batted in. And so far, he is leading the organization through four games with a .533 batting average. Another guy who made his debut this week, that would be Wisconsin Timber Rattlers starter Cody Medeiros. And the 18-year-old talented prospect on the hill went 6 no-hit innings, walking just one and striking out 7. What a great way to start for the 18-year-old left-hander and first-round pick of the Brewers last year. Also worth noting in the minor leagues, Elian Herrera is off to a great start in Colorado Springs. He's hitting .476 through his first five games with a couple of homers and six runs batted in. Jason Rogers, who we could be seeing in Milwaukee at some point this year, Rogers hitting .408 for his first 20 with a couple of homers and also six runs batted in. and utility infielder Luis Sardinas also hitting above 400 for the Sky Sox. Now, as we do each week here on Brewers on Tap, we dive headlong into the Twitterverse.
Tweet this. Let's check in on social media.
A lot of players take the off day to kind of get themselves settled in and relax a bit, but not second baseman Scooter Gennett. The first off day of the year, Thursday last week, he went off and got himself married. So congratulations to Scooter Gennett and his new wife on tying the knot. And also lots of love out towards Masters champion Jordan Spieth, the 21-year-old winning his first PGA tournament, and it happened to be the Masters. And fellow Longhorn Corey Knebel was certainly outspoken in his congratulations to Jordan Spieth. And finally, Tim Dillard, who's got one of the more unique personalities out there, began a series of videos on Twitter called Baseball Player Answers in 30 Seconds. Last week in his first edition, he had the aforementioned Knebel try and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game without using the word the. Yeah, give that a shot. It's not too easy, especially in under 30 seconds. And then in his second edition, he asked backup catcher Robinson Diaz to explain the infield fly rule. That was classic video. And if you'd like to see some of these videos, and he does them pretty much every single week, you can follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. As we know, the Brewers are on the road for now, but they will be coming home shortly. And a big homestand coming up, so let's see what's on tap with the Brewers.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
The Brewers come back on Monday next week for a 7-game homestand against the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals. You got the Reds in town for 4 and then the Cardinals to finish out the homestand. But don't forget, on Monday the 20th, it's Miller High Life Monday with terrace reserve seats for just $9. And on Thursday afternoon, kids and senior discount days with kids under 14 and seniors 60 and over, they save 50% on tickets. And then the Cardinals come to town over the weekend in a central showdown against Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. They'll start on the 24th through the 26th for a 3-game set, and we'll have more updates next week on the podcast. But a couple of things to keep your eye on. Friday the 24th is student night, where high school and college students can purchase $10 terrace reserve tickets and $15 loge bleacher tickets, plus take advantage of a special pregame happy hour menu with $3 beers, sodas, hot dogs, and nachos. And also next Sunday the 26th, it's Willie Peralta bobblehead giveaway. It's a 110 start against the Cardinals, and it's the second of our 20 giveaways here in 2015. To get your tickets, visit Brewers.com. And for a list of the entire promotional schedule, visit Brewers.com/promotions.
Gantner, there he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball. Right field and deep. Get up and get out of here. Gone for Swaim. And they've done it again. 12 in a row on a 2-run blast by Swaim to win it. Oh, my goodness.
That's going to do it this week for our podcast. Don't forget to tweet in your questions. We answered a couple of those with Bill Schroeder and Rob Deer this week. So tweet at Brewers using the hashtag BrewersOnTap to get involved in next week's podcast. Thanks as always to our great guests, Rob Deer and Bill Schroeder, for stopping by the podcast. This is Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap.